Wow, good evening, folks. Great to hear all the talking, seeing the smiles out there tonight. Y'all must be glad to be here. That's good. Awesome. And wanted to remind you, too, before I go over some of the announcements. After the service, okay, until we get an assistant here, we're just going to have times of prayer up here at the altar. So when the service ends, please come forward, unless you have to leave right away. And just spend some time. Let's spend time as a church praying about that matter of an assistant pastor. And I will say this. I'm going to say more next week about it at the annual meeting, but I am in talks with a guy. I've been talking with a guy now for, maybe he's going on close to 2 months. And there seems to be some mutual interest. And here's the way I'm praying. If it's not God's will, shut the door, right? We don't want someone here that God didn't intend to be here. So if you could just make that a matter of prayer for wisdom. And clear opened or closed doors, whatever the case is. And I appreciate that. Announcements go, what was in the bulletin this morning, please familiarize yourself with those. And I want to reiterate again the outreach this Saturday at 10 o'clock. We really need some help at connecting with people that have visited at one time or another. And some that have visited and never came back. We need to find out why, don't we? Just kidding on that. Visitors always come back to Grace, right? But we do have a number of folks we need to connect with, reconnect with. And if you could help with that, that would really be nice. I did want to mention, too, Spud just told me before the service, he's having some surgery on the 11th of this month. So that's coming up here. Please be in prayer for him later this week. He doesn't know what time yet. He knows what they're doing, but he doesn't know what time. And so just make him a matter of your prayer time this week as that day approaches. And let's go ahead and sing.
If you are like me, you have probably heard someone say to you at some time or another in some kind of a crisis, well, all we can do is pray. Well, guess what? That should be the first thing we should do, isn't it? Whenever we're facing troubles, it shouldn't be the last resort. It should be our first resort. 508 in our hymnals, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Let's all stand together as we open up our singing, tell it to Jesus. Listen and go along. God is so good.
take our offering now if our ushers could come. And as they're coming now, I don't normally do this because I don't like to embarrass people. But we do have an answer to prayer here. Bob and Mary, they have some visitors with them, but I'm not going to embarrass everyone. Okay. Just a little one. Could you stand up with her, please? Yes. This is the little girl that we were praying for last Wednesday. And here she is today. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? God is good. Larry, would you lead us in prayer, please? We're going to have a video update from one of our missionaries, Rick and Sue Simonson. They sent this to us. And so just sit back and see what's going on where they're at.
The reason I've decided to produce this video at this time is because it appears our furlough may be delayed. Our original plan was to come back to the States in 2019 for furlough, but because of our new church plant and also my schedule in the Bible College, it looks like that furlough will have to be delayed at least 1 year and possibly 2 years. We just wanted to let our supporters know that we're still here in Kenya, we're still doing the work that you've supported us over these many years to do, and we thank you for it. Following will be a bit of a video update on how our ministry stands at this point. Hello, I'm Rick Simonson. This is my wife, Sue, and our sons, Aaron and Daniel. Sue and I have served the Lord in Kenya for 30 years. The boys have served the Lord in Kenya all of their lives. Our newest church plant is Trinity Baptist Church in the village of Gatukuyu. Now we'd like to let our Sunday school children sing for you. Has given us about 25 children every Sunday, and we have had as many as 50. Each one of them is a soul for whom Christ died. Now we'll let Sue teach you a little bit of her Sunday school lesson.
Ameenda kwa wakuu wao na walisema, tunawezaje kumaliza hiyo kazi yote kama tunahitaji kuende kutafuta majani. Walisema hawawezi na wakaenda kwa Musa wakamwambia wewe umetuleta shida.
I'm seeking to use our new church plant in the village of Gatikuyu to train Aaron and Daniel in various aspects of church planting. They represent the next generation of Kenya's church planters.
And we will see that we have sinned against God, have broken His law.
Besides our ministry at Trinity Baptist Church in Gatikuyu, we are also very actively involved in Independent Baptist College of Ministry. Our classes meet at Bethel Baptist Church in Nairobi. Graduation in November of 2018 will mark the end of our 10th year of running this Bible college program. With our graduation in 2018, we will have 49 graduates serving the Lord in the mission fields of Kenya. Perhaps our largest increase in our student body. evaluate our 30 years in Kenya, we've seen thousands come to Christ. We've seen many churches planted, hundreds baptized into those local churches. We've trained many Kenyans who are still serving the Lord in their churches. But when all is said and done, perhaps the most important contribution we will have made to the ministry of Christ here in Kenya will be raising two young men who are living for God and who desire to serve the Lord here in their home country.
Hi, I'm Aaron Simonson, and I'm graduating with my bachelor's degree in this year, the end of this year, and then I hope to pursue a master's degree in the future. And I believe that the Lord would have me to serve as an evangelist to youth and reach the youth of Kenya.
Hello, my name is Daniel Simonson, and I am studying in Independent Baptist College of Ministry. I still have two more years left in Bible college before I graduate with my bachelor's degree, after which I will pursue a master's. As I continue seeking the Lord for specifics on what He would have me do here in Kenya, I do believe that He has called me to be a full-time missionary here.
Speak, O Lord. We talked about telling Jesus, and that's to speak to Him, and now we want Him to speak to us through the ministry of His Word. All three stanzas of 513, Speak, O Lord.
Thank you.
Carson, appreciated that very much. Let's take our Bibles tonight and open them to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14, if you would please. And as you're turning there, let me also announce another prayer request. Saturday morning, late Friday night, Scott Ward, he had gotten called from work. And his father had just passed away at the hospital here in town. So just please remember to pray for the family there. They were meeting today to make the arrangements. So as soon as we have them, we'll let you know through email, most likely. And or you can call the office. As soon as we know, we'll pass that on to you. Proverbs chapter 14, if you would look with me there at verse number 12, is where we'll begin reading. 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Now look with me at verse 18. "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." And we have this comparison back and forth here between, a wise man and a foolish man. But there's a word that's used here earlier on. In verse number 14, in the King James version of the Bible, the word backslider occurs only once. Can you guess where? Right here. Good. You're observant. But the state of backsliding is referred to many times in Scripture. And it's always a sign of a spiritual decline. Maybe that's a good way to describe it. A slipping downward, away from God. Let's look at the point that this spiritual decline or this departure begins. Wouldn't it be good to know where it starts? Because I know none of us would be called backsliders. But we want to be able to help people, right? Let's just look at this and see where it begins. The point of spiritual departure. In verse number 14, it says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." The beginning of spiritual decline for a Christian starts with the heart. An unguarded heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, familiar verse. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligent, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he does." We understand that. And that's why Solomon exhorts us to guard our heart, to guard it. We have to be serious about guarding our heart. How do we do that? Just how do we guard our heart? Our hearts, first of all, must be guarded by the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." God is saying to us, let your eyes observe my ways, see how I want you to live. But notice what he said first. He said, "Give me your heart." God wants us to give him our heart. And our response should be what we find in Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." John Bunyan once wrote, "This book will keep you from sin," or, you've heard it before, "Sin will keep you from this book." And that is so true. So when we become undisciplined in our time of Bible study and meditation, and I emphasize those two words, you know there's a difference between study, meditation, and reading our Bible every day. There is a big difference. And when we neglect study and meditation of God's Word, instead what we do, I think we sometimes tend to do this, is we rest on our upbringing. Now, if I had you raise your hand, how many of you would raise your hand tonight and say, "Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home"? You have heard the story of Jonah 500 times, right? You've heard the David and Goliath, okay? If I threw some flannel graph pictures at you, you could probably tell the story somewhat. And what happens many times when we've been saved for any length of time and spent lots of time in church, we start to rest on our upbringing. I've read through the Bible 15 times in my life. Okay, I can coast now. And we begin to rest on our upbringing. We begin to rest on what we already know. We begin to rest on our other religious activities that we're involved in. And we begin to neglect the study and meditation of God's Word. Because we read it before, we've heard it before, and we're doing all this other stuff. So we neglect that. We are at that point, we are in a state of spiritual decline. We're at that tipping point right there. This should be a red flag, a caution to us. If we are neglecting study and meditation of God's Word, be warned. We're on a tipping point here where spiritual decline could take place. Now, one thing about spiritual decline, backsliding, whatever we want to call it. When we try to look back and figure out, where did it begin? It began at a point when we didn't even know it. But that's the beginning point right there. And then somewhere after that, the decline begins to take place at different speeds. It's like when a huge tree falls in the woods. And you wonder, how could a huge tree fall? Now, I don't know if you've seen this tree, but out on Route 48 on the bypass from the tornado a month ago, right there on the side of the road, there's a tree maybe as wide as this pulpit. And it's just sheared right off. Nothing but 1,000 like little toothpicks sticking up in the air. That's not what I'm talking about. But a huge tree that just falls over, breaks and falls over in the woods. How could it have fallen? When you look at it, you see that it was all rotten inside. it was hollow. Some of you perhaps have trees taken down in your yard, and when they cut them down, they were hollow all the way up the middle. Makes me wonder, should they have charged you as much to cut that tree down? They didn't have to cut through as much wood, right? But the tree looked nice on the outside, didn't it? We can be that sometimes, can't we? Look nice on the outside, but hollow in the middle. So, number two here. Our hearts must be guarded by the strength of the Spirit. This is how we guard our hearts. It is absolutely vital to recognize that without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, Christ cannot be real and relevant in our lives. Christ becomes something we do on Sundays. That's the church thing that we do. Monday through Saturday, that's what I mean by not relevant. He's really not a part of Monday through Saturday. And so we have to, our hearts have to be guarded by the strength of the Spirit. It is through the strength of the Holy Spirit, the unhindered, unquenched, ungrieved strength of the Holy Spirit, that we can then be convicted of sin in our lives. Without this, we're just play acting. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Not a condoning of drinking as long as you don't get drunk, as some people would like to lay claim to this verse. It's a comparison. Just like when someone is drunk with wine, their body is under the control of that substance. That's how we should be with the Holy Spirit. Controlled by the Holy Spirit. Just given over to it. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, the unhampered power of the Spirit. Now, the way to have this blessing of the unhampered power of the Holy Spirit, the way to have that is not grieving Him, not quenching Him, not hindering Him. How do we not do that? Obedience. Without this obedience, there's backsliding. We are never okay. All of us in here. We are never okay. We have never reached a point where we're good enough. Reminds me of a hymn in our hymn books. Higher ground. Pressing on. Reaching for higher ground. Once we get there, what do? Higher ground. And then higher ground. Let's look at how this spiritual decline takes place. But before we do that, spiritual backsliding begins when those things take place. But before we move on, let me ask you this question. Ask yourself, am I here? Am I at that tipping point right now in my life? Ask yourself the things we went through. Study, meditation of God's word. If we're not there, we're at a critical juncture in our life. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't done that for years. You're at a critical juncture in your life. Or you've already gone past it and you don't even know it. Remember Samson? He was way past that critical juncture in his life and he didn't even know it. The process that takes place. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. Again, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. There's a comparison there between the backslider and a good man. We'll look at that here in a little bit. Once the point of departure has begun, the decline that follows is very sure and it's very predictable. And it begins with this. I'm going to use the word perversity. It begins with us being perverse. Struggling with that word, maybe? That word we normally associated with pervert, perverted, something immorally gross and wrong, perversion. But that's where it begins, with perversity. The term perversity, it means perverse. It does seem kind of strong, but it means willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. Oh, I guess that could be me, couldn't it? Or you. Willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. That's perversity. The verse says, verse 14 says that this backslider, this person, is filled with his own ways. That's fitting the definition of perversity. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, what does it say there? All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, just like we're seeing in Proverbs. Solomon says as well in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, his own way, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A believer who insists on his own way, I know what the Bible says, I just don't agree with it. I know what the Bible says, but I was brought up differently. That's a believer who's insisting on their own way. That's perversity. That's the process of spiritual decline. And we ignore the truth of Scripture. At that point, we are on the spiritual skids, you might say. What is a believer to do about that? If you've been at the tipping point and you realize there's some perversity in your life going counter to what God expects or desires of us, Romans 8:13 is the answer. I referenced it this morning. Mortifying the deeds of the body. Daily bringing our thoughts and our will to the cross, killing them and leaving with the mind of Christ. How does a man transform his living? By renewing our minds, according to Romans. Something else that is present in backsliding is this term duplicity. Now, there's two thoughts about this word filled in Proverbs. Filled. Duplicity is when the backslider tries to cover up what he's doing by realizing or rationalizing his actions. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament would be an example of that. One of the most shocking and astonishing things is the lying and cheating among backsliders. Now, do you think there's a lot of backsliders in the church? Some people would say, yeah. Based on what we've looked at so far, the tipping point, doing things our own way, we're qualifying for the biblical definition of a backslider. But now we have this statement that I just made. The lying and cheating among backsliders. I don't know about that. Hold on. They lie in their praying when they're talking to God. They lie in their singing, I surrender all. My Jesus, I love thee. Can we think of other songs that we sing on a Sunday, but we're lying when we sing them? King of my life, I crown thee now. Crown. Well, okay, I'll just say that. Thine shall the glory be. Not really, because I want all the glory for myself. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. What comes next? Lead me to Calvary. As long as it fits in my schedule and it's not inconvenient. Right? Backsliders, they lie in their singing. They lie in their talking and even in their serving. They know it's wrong and they still continue in it. This is part of the process of spiritual decline. You say, but yeah, Pastor, everything's going fine in my life. Samson thought so too. And at that moment in his life when God needed him, he wasn't available. We'll talk more about that. The third thing that's present in backsliding is another word, complacency. Now, that's the second thought about the word filled. Okay? There's another rendering of that verse that reads, the backslider in heart is satisfied with his own ways. There's the idea of complacency. He becomes completely complacent with where he's at. Now, generally, it doesn't happen with new Christians. It happens with those that have been saved for a while because they've done these things and they've read all of this and they've heard all of this, and then they get complacent. When a man reaches that point, God lays him aside. When we've reached that tipping point and we started the spiritual decline based on our perversity, refusing to do what is expected or desired of us by God, and we've gone down that and we've become okay with it. We're no longer reaching for higher ground. We're singing about it, but we're no longer reaching for it in our hearts. We're not studying and meditating on God's word, but we sing about it and we're complacent with all of it. We're okay with that. At that point, God lays that person aside. Why? They have become useless. The power of God has been removed from their life, just like happened with Samson. The power of God could be removed from our life right now. If we've reached that tipping point and we've been going down the slide, the power of God could have been removed from our lives and we don't even know it right now. Nothing we do will satisfy God. Nothing the backslider does can change this condition except there's repentance and confession. And God says, come on home. God's waiting for us. For that, right there. If that doesn't take place, God lays the believer aside. That's what's meant by Christ in John 15:2, where he says that every branch that beareth no fruit, he taketh it away. Just kind of puts it outside the garden. It's not useful anymore. One of the most tragic things about this backsliding is that a brother or sister in Christ can hide their spiritual condition for quite some time. It's like the big hollow tree. It looks good on the outside. And this person is backsliding in heart, and at last it will become visible at some point. Right about this time, I think we need some verses of hope. Let me give you two passages that are my favorites. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's word. There's our answer. Getting back to God's word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I've been complacent for so many years. It's too late to change now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. What do these verses mean for us here tonight? Here's our last point. The spiritual deliverance that is available. The power of spiritual deliverance. Our passage in Proverbs, it says that a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Are you hearing that? What does that mean? There almost seems to be a problem with that. Paul wrote in the New Testament, in me dwelleth no good thing, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. But Paul said, in me dwelleth no good thing. He said, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. But here Solomon writes, the good man shall be satisfied from himself. What this means is anything good about us as Christians is divinely imputed and imparted to us from God. That's a good man. It is the goodness of God that leads to things worthy of being satisfied with. That's what's behind that statement that a good man shall be satisfied from himself, because of what's in himself is from God. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If we are not practicing the daily practice of repentance, we can't be living with the power of God on our lives. Oh, we preach repentance, don't we? Amen? The unsaved, they need to repent. John the Baptist said, they need to repent. We preach it. You need to repent. But we overlook the fact that it's also for us Christians, too, to repent. Repentance means, as I said this morning, turning away from. But not just turning away from sin. It's turning to Calvary. Back to Calvary, if you will. Confessing our sins there at the cross. The goodness of God, it also leads to dependence. Remember, backsliding starts with self-dependence. The goodness of God also leads to obedience. I want us to look at Romans chapter 11, verse 22. The words will be on the screen. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Asking us to look at two things, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. We're being asked there to consider two different things, to think about the goodness of God and the severity of God. To think about those whose severity of God fell on. And to consider the goodness of God that God has shared with us as long as we continue in his goodness. Consider that. Consider these two things. Look at the comparison. Realize the goodness of God that he shared in our life, lest we also be cut off and set aside like Samson was. Paul is warning the Gentiles of something that is fitting for all of us today. He's warning us, because we're Gentiles, not to forget about the manner in which God has brought us into the blessing that we currently enjoy as Christians. The goodness of God. If we remember that, meditate on that, as the psalmist did so many times. He writes so many times in Psalms, but I remembered the goodness of God. That does something. It leads to obedience. Without obedience, there's the severity of judgment. And so it is in our Christian life, day by day. Repentance, dependence on God, that's not enough. There has to be obedience to God in everything. Backsliding begins with the point of spiritual departure. It leads to that tipping point, that spiritual decline. And this is where Christians meet disaster. Question, are we there yet? Are we there? Don't be fooled into thinking. No, this isn't for me. Remember the complacency aspect of backsliding? Praise God that because of his divine goodness, we can know deliverance. It is Christ that can bring us to repentance and dependence on him. And it's up to us to bow low before him until our thoughts and our lives are brought under his control and in line with his word that we're studying and meditating on. Let's bow our heads, please. God, I pray that you would help each of us tonight to consider our own selves. and where we're at in this progression. And what we need to do about it. God, we spoke this morning about making decisions. We're going to be faced with a decision here now. We're going to be faced with a decision about the Holy Spirit having shown us tonight where we're at. And we now know what we need to do to change it. And if we don't decide tonight to change it, we're saying, no, I'm not going to change yet. God, I pray our hearts would be tender in these few moments that we have left. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.